Blog Talk Radio.
Potential fire, not casino, but still hard to handle.
Can you bring my table back over here? How'd I get over there?
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into the Conscious Creators. Today is Sunday. It is a fantastic day here in Jacksonville, Florida, and this is Marie Barojo, one of your hosts of the Conscious Creators. And we also have the lovely Sage Mayotte coming all the way from Arizona. Say hello to everybody,
yes,
Sage.
Yes. Peace and light, everyone. Welcome to the show. So glad you could join us today. We have a very exciting show, a little bit different than what we've usually done, but very, very excited. Of course, this is Sage Mayotte, the billionaire brown girl, reminding you that what? Riches are in life forever. Welcome to the show. And now Miss Love Rains has an exciting day in addition to the show. Love Rains, how's it going?
It is going wonderful. I'm currently driving on my way to a concert. The record label that I'm on, we are doing a concert at the Citadel Church in Jacksonville, Florida. So if there's any listeners out there that's in Jacksonville, in addition to listening to the show, if you want to come to this concert, it is completely free. It's from 5 to 7. It's all of the Periscope artists, including myself. So I'm going to be in and out today on the show, but I know the show is definitely going to be awesome, and I'm excited, and yeah, let's get it going.
Thank you. Again, you know, this is the Conscious Creative, and you know, when we do what we do here, we discuss many things. We open ourselves up to the possibilities of the universe on this show, and we also reveal some of that to you, and we hope that you will share with us in return. So today's show, fantastically enough, is going to be discussing meditation and chakras. I am very familiar with meditation, but our Sage Mayotte is the resident expert on all of it, actually. And so we will be hearing from her. We will be blessed by her, most definitely. And today's show will be perfection, as she said earlier today. We're also going to discuss the spiritual side of sex. And it's funny because in our unwrapped session, we sort of delve into a lot of different topics, but most of them having to do with, carnality. I guess that's typically what we discuss, but it is a beautiful thing to be able to combine every part of who we are as beings into every experience. And so today we're going to discuss that through tantric sex, and also through the Kama Sutra. And just, in case any of you want to be looking it up while we're talking, tantric is T-A-N-T-R-I-C. And simply put, tantra means woven together or connecting oneself, which is a fantastic thing to hope for when you're connecting with someone physically. So that will be our unwrapped session later in the day. And please feel free to call with any questions, if you have any comments, or if you simply want to discuss what we're discussing freely with us. So we welcome you today again. And this is Marie Barojo. I am going to turn the show over to the wonderful Sage Mayotte, and she will get us started with the information she's here to share. Sage?
Peace and light once again, everyone, and again, thank you so much for joining us. As Marie stated earlier, we are going to be discussing meditation and the chakras, the seven main chakras that are most often discussed. And today I want to start out with meditation. If you're connected with me on social media, you'll probably see that lately I've been posting a few guided meditations. I've offered guided meditation as well for free to everyone who is connected to me. So I'm going to kind of elaborate there today. And starting out with meditation, it's a lot of craze around it, and a lot of people wonder, what is it? A lot of people think it's not for them. And I just kind of want to shed some light on that and hopefully inspire you to engage in some meditation, because I am convinced that everyone needs to know and everyone deserves to be blessed with meditation. So, again, what is meditation? For me, and that's where everything comes from today, is my experience and what has manifested in my self-study as well as other books and things like that that I've studied and other teachers along the way that I've encountered. So what is meditation? For me, meditation is the opportunity to be still with yourself. It's self-communion. Meditation can be anything that kind of gets your mind off of what your day-to-day routines are and kind of gets you back to you. So for some people, I think meditation for a painter would be them painting. Meditation for somebody who's athletic, maybe running or going to the gym, that's something that helps them, helps ease their mind. But a form of meditation that I think is very important right now is stillness. So a lot of people look at meditation and they think, oh, it's just a time to just sit cross-legged and just be quiet or chant mantras and things like that. It's whatever speaks to your spirit. And I think the way to figure that out, the easiest and the quickest, is through stillness, being able to be quiet. Right now in 2014, we're more plugged in than we ever have been. So I think being able to sit still with yourself for 20 minutes is something that we should all explore and we could all benefit from. And so essentially that's what meditation is. It's sitting with yourself, learning to breathe, helping you to hear what you truly think. We get so caught up in our day-to-day routine that we forget to check in with ourselves, and that's how we become robots. And through meditation, you just kind of, I think, are able to observe your thoughts more than anything, because we are habitual thinkers, and that's one of the biggest things that people who engage in meditation for the first time, that's usually what they discover. If you ask someone who may have tried meditation and they've decided not that it's not for them, it's probably because they'll say, I can't shut my thoughts off. I can't stop thinking. A million thoughts come in my head, and I can't sit there. Those are the people who need to be in meditation. We become habitual thinkers, and it's something that's become the norm. So, I mean, I think meditation is key for everyone, and a lot of disease, a lot of decisions that are made, things like that, can be made better through meditation and self-reflection. A lot of us don't reflect on ourselves. We watch the news. We go to work and have someone tell us what to do. We have all of our decisions made for us, and meditation kind of gets you back to alignment with who you truly are. And if you need, I think the opportunity to visualize. I'm sorry, go ahead, Marie.
No, I was going to simply say I thought that was a pretty profound statement, the way that meditation gets us back to who we really are. And I think it is, you know, because we are chronically stressed in our society, period, especially with all of, we're just constantly inundated with information, constantly streaming different images and thoughts and ideas, whether it be through social media or just constant contact with one another. And we are effectively just sort of like, I don't want to say open wounds, but depending on where we are in our lives spiritually, that's exactly what we are. We're picking up these infectious sort of things in our world that are creating, you know, damage to our bodies, to our minds, to our spirits. And I read something interesting when we decided that we were going to do this show, and I read something on Bloomberg, and actually there is a psychiatrist at Harvard Medical, and he did a study for about 5 years on how ancient practices affect genes and brain activity, especially in the chronically stressed. And one of the things he pointed out was that there is a true biological effect with meditating, and that the kinds of things that happen with you when you are meditating, you will begin to see a definite change in not only the way you think, but also in the way you feel, and it is actually scientifically proven to be effective. So it isn't just like you're walking around in this sort of nirvana in your head and you're floating around on clouds, and there is no actual physical evidence of its benefits, but
there are, right? There are benefits. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of benefits. Absolutely. I think in body, in mind, in emotion, someone who made me, I will tell you that meditation kind of pressed reset on my life since I began to do it consistently. And it sharpens your mind by us being the conscious creative. Meditating helps to sharpen your mind and helps you think on your feet. You're not as sluggish, things like that. For better health, because through meditation you learn how to breathe properly, and that's one of, I think, the biggest things that hinders us. Energetically, we always reach for coffee or some type of stimulant as far as our energy is concerned. Meditation before sleep and in the morning helps build your energy, because if you are properly oxygenating your body, then you're constantly energizing your body, because everything is what? Energy. And it's like we put gas into the car. That's kind of what oxygen is to your body. And so when you meditate, that's an opportunity to breathe properly, but that would be a totally different show, because the art of breathing, it's really an art if you ever were to embark on learning how to breathe properly. But meditation can definitely take you in that direction. But back to meditation as far as its benefits, I think emotions can be balanced through meditation. It helps you to put things in perspective, maybe help you understand why you may be feeling that way, or why you may be constantly reacting to your relationship in a certain way, or keep getting the same results. So it definitely helps to balance out your emotions. Helps you to be more aware of your body and your mind. Some of us don't realize where we may be holding tension in our bodies. Most of us hold tension in our shoulders throughout the day and things like that. Or if you're meditating, you are also aware of your body, so you'll be able to relax. And as you are more consistent in your practice, you're more likely to be more relaxed throughout your day and not just in meditation. So the benefits of meditation does transcend the lotus position, which is the seated position for meditation. Psychological problems, when you meditate and you're not thinking all the time, my theory is when you're thinking all the time and you have done that for 60 or 70 or 80 years of your life, I'm starting to think that this is the reason that a lot of our elders are started to be diagnosed with things like dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that, because their minds have been going on autopilot for so long. And right. The mind is a powerful thing, so you can use it as a tool or it can use you. And so I'm definitely convinced that different psychological problems and patterns can be healed through meditation, because it gets you out of your mind. So many of us exist right there in our minds that we are not aware of any other part of our bodies, which is kind of going to lead into learning more about the chakras and understanding what they are. I think a lot of mysteries that we don't understand, or things that we've been taught and we may not agree with but we go along with, can be transcended through meditation. You kind of gain perspective on why you may think differently from mom or dad or the pastor or whoever. And you kind of can bring new thoughts into the world. You can manifest new thoughts, new ways of doing things that may be more beneficial to humankind. So reflecting on yourself, I think meditation causes you to do that, and it helps you to bring forth your purpose in life. Because you're able to be still, you're able to disconnect from everything that everyone else has ever told you, and you start to see yourself for who you are, and not only that, but you also begin to appreciate that person that you discover. Go ahead, Marie.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I think too, like for people who are like just starting out, like meditation for me is something that is kind of still new, and for those of us who are still kind of starting out. You know, a lot of times they think that, it might be too much or it may take too much time. I was reading something the other day, and I saw where it said, if you just take 10 minutes out of your day you know, just 10 minutes. And I think that it might have been you that said that to me, Sage, where you just sit still and sit and just kind of just do nothing, like try to shut off your thoughts and do absolutely nothing, just at least for starting out, for those who may be new to meditation. If you just sit for 10 minutes a day, you know, and just shut off the entire world, shut off your phone, shut off your thoughts, and just sit and sit still, eventually the whole thing of meditation, it'll start to come to you, and it'll start to be, once you start to do it more often and consistently, then it'll come, you know, more, you know, then you can go into the affirmations and the ohms and the mantras and things of that nature. So, you know, for those of you who may be out there that, you know, that don't know how to just start, you know, just start with just 10 minutes a day, just sitting still and shutting off the entire world for 10 minutes. That's all it'll take, just to start, you know what I mean? And the important thing, too, I believe, is to start somewhere, you know what I'm saying? And because a lot of times, a lot of people, we make excuses for, oh, I don't have time, or I got kids, or, you know, I don't have any alone time, or I don't have a space. I go sit in my car. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. Just go somewhere where you can be quiet and be, you know, by yourself and shut off the rest of the world. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And if you are out there and you feel like you don't have those 10 minutes, you need to take those 10 minutes. If you're a mother, and I think mothers get it the worst because they feel so obligated to their children that society tells them that they have to sacrifice those 10 minutes or that time for themselves in order to dedicate all of that time to their children, I think that is a bunch of bull, and I think that a mother should insist on taking that time for herself, because not only is it beneficial for her, but you also are the example to your child of it being so necessary for them to take time for themselves as well. Maybe your child isn't ready to learn meditation, and that's perfectly fine. But if you start to be still and you help them to understand that, you know, mommy needs time for herself, not just because she's mommy, but because she's human. She deserves it, and you deserve it too. So you start leading by example by doing that, and you'll be amazed at how they will respect your time, and this also instills in them to respect other people's time and understand how important it is to take that time for themselves. Now, it may not always be in the most quiet place, and that's the beauty of meditation. The more consistent you are with it, no matter what's going on, like for me, sometimes I wake up and they're already manicuring the lawn here, and I would prefer it to be quiet, but that also gives me an opportunity to transcend what's going on around me. So being able to be in meditation when it's really loud, that can be a sign that you've gone deeper into your meditation. So even if you aren't able to be around just total quiet, is just try to focus on your breath. And as much as you may focus on the noises around you, just go back to your breathing. This may sound foreign, but just start. Marie, were you about to say something?
I was, actually. You know, me, I am the one who'll just kind of fill in with more information. And it is fantastic. I mean, definitely meditation was not something that I did on a regular. And I think a lot of it, and this is would be an interesting, you know, thing to discuss as well, but for me, growing up, you know, with my Christian background, would often feel as if I were somehow opening myself up to demonic oppression. And so some of the things that I was taught about, and I'm sure many of our listeners were probably taught the same thing, that somehow these things, yoga, meditating, that they're somehow going against our core beliefs. And so I guess, you know, as, of course, I began to study myself, and I realized that one of the things you said earlier is, you know, your mantra can be what it is. If it's a scripture in the Bible, it's a scripture in the Bible. And it isn't about focusing on one religion or set of beliefs or even a spiritual standing, more so than just quieting yourself long enough to be reconnected with yourself. And so, I mean, is that something that, it, you know, either of you have come across? I don't know your religious background, you know, in depth, but have you guys ever struggled with that, with how that fit into your spiritual belief? Or did it even matter?
Yes. I'm going to chime in real quick because I have to go. I have to run in real quick for a sound check. But I know for me it definitely affected I wouldn't necessarily say the way I was brought up. It was just that when I remember I mentioned to my mom one time about meditating, and I mentioned to her about chakra healing and stuff like that, and she said that those were things that were not of God. And that's, you know, that's how she was raised. She was raised to, you know, to not believe in those things. And so when I attempted to share those things with her and my family, it was something that was just kind of like, oh, no, that's not what we do, you know. And, you know, so we've bumped heads a lot of times as far as me and my family when it comes to spiritualism spirituality versus religion. So mm-hmm. That has definitely affected a lot of my meditation and why I haven't, or meditation and chakra learning and chakra balancing, because it's just something that I was always told that we weren't supposed to do because that's how I was raised. So yeah, it definitely has affected me. So, but I'm gonna be in and out. I'm about to go inside for a sound check. So yeah, I hope everybody enjoys the show. Sage and Marie are wonderful and amazing at what they do, and I love you guys, and yeah, wish me luck.
We love you. Enjoy. Go and enlighten the people.
I shall.
And for myself, as far as that's concerned, it's always been pretty interesting for me. I've always been what my family tends to call my mother's flower child. I've kind of always been someone who thought differently, but in the sense that I never negatively rebelled. Like, I would go to church, and my grandmother always inspired me to attend church. But the great thing for me, I think, is I was able to ask those questions after church, and even if my grandmother didn't know the answers, she'd never tell me not to ask those questions. She may have looked at me weird, like, where'd you come from? But she never
right.
made me feel bad for having questions or not understanding things. And if she didn't know the answer, she would tell me she didn't know the answer. If she did know the answer, if she had, you know, if she wanted to expound on it, even if she didn't know, if she just had an opinion, she would share that with me. And as far as the remainder of my family is concerned, I've shared things with them. They haven't really, really readily ever said, oh, that doesn't align with this particular religion. I was raised in a Baptist church, and mm-hmm. I just, for me, it holds me back from sharing a lot with my family because I know that they're very stern in their beliefs, but at the same time, they've never really bashed me for it. I've been able to talk to my mom about meditation openly and, you know, say, you know, I'm going to meditate, or tell her my experience and things like that. But I think the great thing is I've never tried to force it on them, because I think when you may discover a particular truth, everyone may not be ready to accept it. So I think that's what's kept the doors open in that ass family and myself, is I've never tried to make them believe what I believe or make them do what I do, because I've always been the one who kind of did the thing different from everyone else. Like, I'm climbing to the top of the tree while everyone else may be inside playing video games or something like that. But I never complained that there was nobody to play with me, for instance, and things like that. So I kind of play well mm-hmm. with myself, and those two have never really crossed paths, I guess, for me in a negative way. So I can't say that I've ever been negatively affected or told that this is not of God or this is not something that identifies with this religion or goes against it. However, I have observed it, and I think that if a religion is telling you not to get to know yourself, maybe you really need to go into some meditation to understand why you're still going to that church or why you're
right.
still, you know, identifying with that. So if they're telling you this is nothing but knowledge of yourself, it's nothing but quiet time with yourself, meditation or learning about the energy centers of your body, that's no religion. That's just getting to know yourself, and I think that may be the missing link to a lot of what's going on in our society collectively.
Okay. Well, again, this is the creative, conscious creative, and that is Faith Mayotte sharing her information and her knowledge and her passion with us concerning meditation. And then, of course, later on, we'll be discussing the seven main chakras. Just to give you guys just some, you know, really, really good nuggets here. With meditation, the physiology undergoes a change, and every cell in the body is filled with more prana, which is energy. And as a result, you definitely feel the joy, peace, enthusiasm as the level of energy or prana in the body increases. And so on a physical level, meditation lowers high blood pressure. It lowers the level levels of blood lactate and reducing anxiety attacks. Meditation also decreases any tension-related pain such as headaches, ulcers, insomnia, muscle and joint problems. It increases serotonin production that improves mood and behavior. It improves your immune system, and it is scientifically been proven that another one of the physical benefits of meditation is it increases the energy levels, as they shared with us earlier, and that happens as you gain an inner source of energy. So we definitely thank you for joining us, and we're going to take a quick break, and some of the songs that we're going to be sharing today are selfishly some of my favorites. And for me, I'm sharing these songs because they put me into a different state of mind most often, whether it be relaxing, whether it be a sexual mood. So I'm going to share Prince, this song, Adore, with you guys, and we'll be right back with you.
Word.
Initially, when I did it, when I was first introduced to tantric sex, and I remember being introduced to tantric sex way after Kama Sutra, and many of us who can enjoy and appreciate the art of lovemaking have probably seen the movie Kama Sutra or maybe even bought the book, which is totally different from what tantric sex is. So the beautiful thing about tantra is it's a pathway, and that's kind of how you have to see it, that it's not just a pathway to sexual ecstasy, but it's also, it allows us into a place of personal healing and fulfillment. It is definitely a connection between the devotional, which is spirit, and erotic love, which is the sex. And it is a very free thing that we should have with ourselves or with our lovers. And so one of the more fantastic, I know many of you who listen to the show often knows that I love a good quote. And so I came across this quote by Ayn Rand, and it says that love is blind, they say. Sex is impervious to reason and mocks the power of philosophers. But in fact, a person's sexual choice is the result in some of their fundamental convictions. Tell me what a person finds sexually attractive, and I will tell you their entire philosophy of life. Show me the person they sleep with, and I will tell you their valuation of themselves. No matter what corruption they're taught about the virtue of selflessness, sex is the most profoundly selfish of all acts, an act which they cannot perform for any motive but their own enjoyment. Just try to think of performing it in a spirit of selfless charity, an act which is not possible in self-abasement, only in self-exhalation, only on the confidence of being desired and being worthy of desire. It is an act that forces them to stand naked in spirit as well as in body and accept their real ego as their standard of value. They will always be attracted to the person who reflects their deepest vision of themselves, the person whose surrender permits them to experience or to fake a sense of self-esteem. Love is our response to our highest values and can be nothing else. Now, I will say this. I thought that the I thought that what she expressed was definitely deep and was definitely profound, but definitely incorrect. On a lot of places, one of the things that she said, that sex being profoundly selfish, I don't think that it has to be. And it actually is very opposite of what tantric sex offers and what it teaches. It actually goes beyond wanting to be fulfilled, I guess, at the end, if you will. You know, tantric sex is not about that fulfillment that many of us, you know, have after we orgasm, if you will, and after sex is actually done. And so some schools actually focus on teaching sexual unification of the divine feminine and masculine energies within ourselves and also within our interpersonal relations. So what is it? You know, what is it exactly? I think before we can even begin to go into what it is, we have to look at why many of us are so uncomfortable with our sexualities. I think many of us have been told from a very young age that we have to see our bodies in a certain way and that pleasure is somehow wrong or shameful and it's just something that we shouldn't be spoken of. And actually, we end up becoming very mechanical about our desires, very mechanical about our pleasures, and we dare not discuss those things outside of our lovers or even close friends because it is part of our health or well-being that's considered inappropriate. And so tantric sex actually ushers in a healing oftentimes. What do you know about it, Sage?
What do I know about tantric sex?
Yes.
What I do know is one of the main things that people think on the surface about tantric sex is that it's just based on sex, but it, mm-hmm. I think it's it may actually be the key to our liberation as a people. I think tantric sex is a way for us to kind of put a spin on what sex is for most people, and I think for most people right now, it's based on of. Just a feeling and an orgasm, as you said earlier, sexual ecstasy, whereas tantric sex kind of puts you in a position to honor yourself as being a divine being and being light, and also an opportunity to honor your lover. It
right.
makes you take the time to dance with them in more than just a physical way. It moves you to look into their eyes. It moves you to touch them, not just in a sexual way, but in a gentle way. And it's not just for lesbians. It's not just for orgies. It's not just for men. It's for all of us. It's a way for us to be more aware of ourselves and to understand what sex is and understand the energetic exchange that it is. When you engage
right.
in it. And so that's why I say that I think it can liberate us and kind of based on the quote, when she said, you know, who a person chooses to sleep with, because you're exchanging energy with that person. So whoever you decide to lay with, you're taking on whatever they have going on with their, within them. So if they're liars, or if they're the way they eat, if they eat any kind of way and those types of things, the, not only the semen that is exchanged, the bodily fluids that are exchanged, but also the energy, like you're taking on whatever that person has going on with them. So tantric sex for me makes sex much more sacred. It's not, it turns sex into something that we're not just doing recklessly. It causes you to have sex with all of you and not just your organs, if that makes sense.
Right.
It makes it more spiritual. It makes it more of a celebration.
Right, and it does. It actually makes a lot of sense, because one of the things, like I said a second ago, is that it allows for us to begin being healed in those areas, and because it allows ourselves to be opened up to the sacred. And whatever is sacred for you, and whether it's your spiritual source, the universe, it allows us to be more open to that. And I think one of the things we have to do is definitely break free of programming. You know, stop living out our lives in a way that has very little to do with our entire being. So to ignore our sexual self-esteem would be to ignore such a large part of us. And I guess many of us probably don't even think about sex in that way, you know, as far as their being or having a sexual self-esteem, you know, because we're taught for so many reasons that I know for me, I won't speak in general terms. For me, I never had a discussion with anyone in my village about sex. I can remember when I was about 19, never. When I was about 19, someone gave me a book, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was just books with different positions in it. And so for me, I really bought into the mechanical side of such a beautiful and intimate expression of one's self. And so it became, for me, just about pleasing my partner and whatever acrobatic, jumping through hoops of fire, whatever I needed to do to please my mate, because that's what we do, especially women. We will take, men do it too. We take our sexuality, or what we perceive as our sexuality, as something very serious, but only in a physical sense. So it becomes, I am going to express myself sexually in a physical sense, and in a physical sense only, and I'm going to learn how to do what I do the best way that I can. And so then I'm introduced to tantric sex, and I was uncomfortable with it, because then I realized that in that area, my esteem was not as high as I thought that it was. And so one of the things that we look at, you know, when we're talking about sexual self-esteem, is that how my environment and how my religious background and how television and schooling and all of these different things sort of made my mind the way that it was at that time. And so all I knew was what I knew. I didn't know anything else. And that's a lot of us, and a lot of us will continue, even after this show, even after this discussion, continue to do the things that we've always done in the way that makes us feel most comfortable. So I will say that, especially when it comes to women, you know, in our lives and our roles as mothers, whatever, we stay mechanical. You know, we stay doing the things that we're used to doing, laying down and letting Mr. do his business. And I remember I made that analogy last week. And so, but I will say that if we delve into tantra, the things that it would open up, you know. And I've read many, many testimonials about couples who wanted to maintain this passion and this love that they initially had when they first met, that they were somehow losing at some point. And I believe that that happens because sex becomes just a routine, and we disconnect spiritually from one another. You know, like you said earlier, that sex does, it ties us. It connects mm-hmm. us one to the other in a very, very spiritual way. And, you know, which is why a lot of times you see married couples together and people will say, gosh, you're starting to look like him. You sound like him. You know, a lot of the things that you do reminds me of your mate. And that is because, mm-hmm. you know, it isn't just the vowels. It isn't just standing before a preacher, standing before, you know, whomever you'll stand for it, if you were to make a commitment that connects us, that makes us one. You know, that's mm-hmm. why in a lot of cultures, if you have not consummated your marriage, then you're not even married. Because we become one once we are physical. And so even without your marital vows, even without your domestic partnerships, even without anything, when you're spreading your energy around, you're connecting to all these different people. So just a little sidebar there. Just to go back to tantric sex really fast with you guys, something to know more about, you know, it's definitely something to know more about, because what it does is it takes us on this inner journey that reveals an inner place in us that we probably never knew existed. And you begin to feel these sensations of intense pleasure, an incredible range of beautiful emotions, all because your mind changed. And so you went from mm-hmm. having sex to have an orgasm to your now connecting with your partner because you want to connect with your partner. And so you've mm-hmm. changed the way that you view, you've reframed the way that you see sex so that it can be more pleasurable to the entire being and not just to, like you said, to your organs, your sexual organs, which is mm-hmm. fantastic. Okay, so if you look it up, and I wish, you know, I could share these things with you guys, you know, through the radio or through the internet, but definitely look into the positions that tantric sex offers and how it can increase your libido, and how it definitely can, because tantric sex goes beyond just sex. There's also tantric yoga, tantric meditation, and so you want to find ways to increase your relationship, the happiness in your relationship, to open your heart, to give and receive love. It is definitely a way to build trust and to experience a deep emotional intimacy and to maintain a passionate love life. And, you know, I think also through tantric sex, because you're revealing so much of yourself, it definitely opens up the door to communicate honestly with one another, because it awakens you spiritually, sexually, and emotionally. You know, you begin to stay healthy and vigorous and vibrant, and you begin to see all these fantastic benefits of simply reframing the way that you see your body and the way that you see the connection that you have with your mate, which is also something mm-hmm. that meditation does as well when you combine the two. Right, Sage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Tantra, it will bring you, and we keep reiterating that it's more than sex, because these various paths that we're discussing today, they interrelate tremendously. And by giving tantric sex a chance, you'll start to see that it bleeds over into the way that you maneuver at work. Things become more sacred than they ever were before. Life becomes more of a dance. It becomes less robotic and more flexible and more fluid. And your experiences are different. Whereas for the lover who is an executive of whatever company and they're constantly at work, and their lover at home is not pleased sexually, or they're not pleased sexually, but it's because they work so much. So whenever they do take time to have sex, it's really quick, and it's just a lower level orgasm. So when you decide to dance with tantric sex, it forces you to pay attention. It forces you to take that time that you need and you deserve, that your spirit is asking for, but you've been unable to hear it for so long. So choosing to do tantric sex would definitely open up new doors and new worlds to every aspect of your life, your relationships with just your friends and your relationships at work, your relationship with your children. You'll be more likely to see them with new eyes instead of just seeing them, oh, this is my child, I just have to raise them and do this in this order, or this is my job and I just go and I work these hours. And life is no longer boring with tantric sex, if that makes sense.
Right.
It becomes a dance.
And it is. I think that was beautiful, the way that you said it. And many of us, I know for me, before I was introduced to it, and I actually have not had the opportunity to actually move my studies beyond the books and the computer yet. I will at some point. Maybe I'll report back, or maybe not. I don't know. But at any rate, I think a lot of us, you know, probably would think that the orgasms that we are already having, you know, they're pretty good. And so why do I have to cram my brain with something else? You know, why do I have to improve on something that I already feel is fantastic? I think that one of the reasons why it's important to continue to learn is because it is a part of our self-evolution. So if I often tell people, you know, if you imagine living things, and let's just think about any living thing, whether it's a tree, a flower, whatever, it has to grow or it will die. There's a process of life. And so if we're not constantly learning and growing and doing more things, then we are effectively dead. And even if that death is a spiritual, mental, emotional death, and physically you're walking around, you are a shell of what you could be if you were just simply opening your mind up and allowing yourself to learn as much as you can. Our brains grow as we learn. And so it isn't a cramming. It's actually receiving something beautiful that could benefit everyone around you. And so a lot of us, and this is just the craziest thing, and how a lot of our sexual issues, like impotence and premature ejaculation, you know, women that are frigid, men that are frigid, and all of these things can really be associated with our sexuality and the way that we see sex. And so most of our emotional and mental disorders or issues that exist are partly connected to either our sexuality or the repression thereof, you know, because we are taught just the craziest things about our bodies and about our minds, and everything is made bad to us. But imagine, you know, being in a place where you're actually exchanging energy with your partner and you understand it, because this thing takes place whether you want it to or not. The exchanging of the energy takes place whether you want it to or not. It happens. But imagine being aware of it, and then you're so aware of it, you're so connected to what's happening in your body and what's happening to your mate, that an orgasm for you is not the end result. Fantastic if you have an orgasm. That is an absolutely beautiful thing. But you're not so focused on it during the act that that's causing a disconnect between you and your mate physically, versus the two of you are in the same zone. The two of you are in the same space, enjoying one another equally, as it should be. You know, instead of your mind is one place and then her mind is somewhere else, and then at the end of it all, you have a normal orgasm and whatever that normal is for you, and then you're seemingly fulfilled. I think that's kind of the way that life is. You know, if we're not introduced to new things, you know, you'll walk outside and get inside your car and think it's the best thing ever. And I think there is a certain level of contentment we should feel in order to feel satisfaction and not be depressed. Absolutely. But if I got inside my car every day, and if my car still got me to work, it still got me to the store, it still required the same amount of gas, and then I'm perfectly satisfied right there, I'll never want that infinity truck that I want so bad that's like ivory colored and, you know, the inside is fantastic and it has all this tricked out stuff in these really big wheels, and because I'd be fine in the car. And not that I'm not fine in my car, but I would really love to experience that infinity truck one day. And it's that sort of understanding that we have to have about life, period. And so just to get back to tantric sex, and how fantastic, you know, I'm finding that it actually is as far as the healing is concerned, and going back to the sexual healing, and we have to understand something, and I know a lot of people probably will not agree with me, but the mind cannot change the mind. The mind is not something that can change itself. It's not like, you know, I think a lot of us are taught, you know, just stop doing that. Just make your mind up and don't do it. And we leave it all to thought. And it has nothing to do with anything else. It's just thought. But that's not what changes our mind. What changes our mind is our connecting with our spiritual selves and understanding what's best for us and then getting the knowledge and the information that we have and not just reading it and hearing it, but digesting it and allowing it to fill every dark place in our being, allowing it to illuminate in every space of our psyche, and then we are completely taking on this information, and we are understanding ourselves and understanding things on an entirely new level, and then that's when change comes. It doesn't just simply come with making our mind up, and I used to find that so difficult to understand before I understand it like this, and I remember thinking, Sage, that my mom would tell me, so I was really, you know, a little off as a child, and I would just do the craziest things simply to experience it. And I mean, I don't even want to call out some of the things I've done, but I wanted to experience things. I wanted to understand how this would feel, how this would taste. And the only way that I could think of, you know, knowing is to do it. And so my mother once told me that I needed to stop doing this particular thing. And I said to her that I can't. And she said that all you have to do is, you know, make up in your mind and do it. And I couldn't articulate it to her that I couldn't. I didn't know how to do that. And a lot of us go through that, you know. And this is beyond sex. This is beyond meditation. It's beyond everything we're talking about, that we think that if we can just sit down and we focus enough on this thing, then my mind will just kind of magically change and then I'll be this new creature that I want to be. But the mind doesn't change itself. Experiences do, understanding the spiritual connection does, and then that's when, you know, we'll have that clarity to actually see the world and see ourselves the way that we should, so that we can experience these things to the utmost, to the absolute fullest. So that's tantric sex for us today, and definitely still, you know, you guys call in. I see some callers on the line. I know a lot of you are, especially when it comes to sex. We will not hear anything when it comes to sex. So we are going to click off for a second and come right back. We're going to get into some music in a little bit. And, again, you know, our calls, all you do is press one, talk to us, and let us know what you're thinking.
We actually do have someone in the queue, so we're going to go ahead and get to the song, and then we'll go ahead and take your call once we're done. So please don't hang up on us. We'll be taking your call.
Okay, you want to take it after the song. Okay, here we go. We're going to do Love of My Life, another one of my favorite songs, just to sort of mellow out. And, you know, again, call back, call and speak to us about tantric sex or meditation. As soon as the song is over, we'll be here.
Right here, what we're gonna do is go back.
Love is in me. to the beat, y'all. If you don't stop, a freak freak.
Oh, would it be that it was all just so simple then? A teenage lover, you say, he's just a friend. He moved around and we kept in touch through his friend Mike. The world was young and we knew we couldn't rush, but whenever I got lonely or needed some advice, he gave me his shoulder. His words were very nice, but that is all behind me. But now there is no other. My love is his and his is mine. My friend became the love of my life.
Up, got back together to get her back. I had the sweater, thought she rode with bad boys forever. In many ways, them boys made her better. To grow, I had to let her. She needed cheddar, and I understood that. Looking for cheese, that don't make her a hood rat. In fact, she's a queen to me. Her light beams on me. I love it when she sings to me. It's like that.
Everyone, thanks again for listening. We are the Conscious Creative, and today we are talking about all things spiritual and how it connects to our entire beings, how it connects to our community, the universe, our happiness, our pleasure. And one of the things we're discussing is meditation. We're also going to be discussing chakras, and we are winding up with tantric sex at this point. And I have a fantastic quote from Deepak Chopra that says, sex is always about emotion. Good sex is about free emotions, and bad sex is about blocked emotions. And we have a caller in queue. Last four digits, 9426. Let's talk.
Yes, hello. Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
This is Dr. Hawkins. I'm from Houston, Texas, and you know, this is a very profound subject because the nature of the spiritual anatomy isn't taught in the major universities, as we all know, but the reason why is quite disturbing. But anyhow, we deal with these different types of energies and the subtle anatomy on a full-time basis. And we've even conducted research and joint experiments with the HeartMath Institute and other organizations. One thing I can tell you, though, is that when you truly practice tantric sex, now I'm not talking about, you know, the novices, you know, who are practicing, mm-hmm. you know, the beginners or the intermediate. I mean, truly advanced. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to touch the person physically to have sex with them. Okay, it's kind of like having a wet dream. You notice mm-hmm. you're not doing anything physically. You know, you're not having sexual intercourse physically, but you physically orgasm. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? It's the act during the dream world, or what some would call the astral body. Now, when you become really proficient at it, you have sex with your astral body as well as your physical body. So it's not just a physical act. And one of the things that we teach people is sex is a spiritual act. So therefore, you got to remember there are 7 levels of mind. Now, we got to be clear which levels that we're talking about, because even American psychology hasn't taught all 7 levels of mind for the most part since 1953. And the reason that they stopped teaching the 2 spiritual levels, known as the superconscious, which is the organizing force and field, is because they weaponized the information with scalar mm-hmm. interferometry and things of this nature. So long story short, what I'm saying to you, my people, is that you have a lot more power than you believe mm-hmm. that you do. You see, spirit itself, it works like this. We did an experiment a few years ago, and what we did is we had a couple come in. We measured their vital force. We have an energy meter that measures the vital force in a person, like literally the life force energy that you have on a scale of 1 to 1,000. 500 is you know, about average. Now, we measured the gentleman's energy. His energy was, I think it was 940. His wife's energy was very low. I mean, extremely low. Her energy was mm-hmm. like, I think it was 320 or something to that effect. Well, they had sex, and then afterwards we measured their energy fields again, and guess what? Their energy fields had swapped. His energy reading was 320, and hers was 940.
Wow. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? I think that's very interesting.
Absolutely. Well, you know, just like what, you know, you quoted Deepak Chopra, and, you know, that's true. I mean, that's proof of it right there. You know, I mean, emotions, what they're not telling us, and you know, they're trapping the fellas, ladies, so you have to be patient with a lot of these guys because they think emotions are something, you know, only for women. They don't realize that you have to break it down into syllables, and then you get emotion, which the E stands for energy, energy in motion.
Emotion, uh-huh.
energy in motion. You see what I mean? So what's actually mm-hmm. happening, remember, sex is a spiritual act. So, I guess another thing I should add is that the mind is merely the vehicle for the soul and the spirit. The subconscious mm-hmm. mind is the vehicle for the soul. The superconscious mind, or some call it Christ consciousness, is the vehicle for the spirit. Therefore, when you have sex with someone, you literally exchange vehicles. Their spirit goes into your body. Mm-hmm. Your spirit goes into their body. That's what literally happens. And that's why falling out of love is hard to do, because you are attaching strings through your chakras to the other person. And when you break up, those chakra strings or heart strings or whatever you want to call them start to dissolve. And it's painful because you're not, you know, sucking each other's energy anymore. But we've proven this in a laboratory. You know, and we try to get this information out to the people. We use aura photography, aura videos, curling photography, life force meters, chi generators, scalar interferometry, the whole nine to prove this. Medical intuitives, too, that can actually see the aura as it's happening. But the main thing, my people, I want you to get is that astral projection. Learn basic astral projection. If you learn that, tantric sex is going to be on a whole other level for you, because it's not just about the physical positions, you know, in physical sex. It's something totally different. So, you know, think about it. Tantric, what does tantric mean? You know, and so, I mean, it's beyond physical, my people, and get this. You have light bodies that are above your astral body too. And I'm just going to leave it at that, but I think y'all get the point.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, for enlightening us and for sharing that knowledge. It was definitely a wealth. Like, I literally am over here taking notes. So I appreciate you. And God, that was meaty. That was meaty. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Hey, no doubt. Oh, hey, now, if you ladies want to get a hold of me,
absolutely.
I'm in Houston, Texas. I'm in Houston, Texas, and we're working on opening a hospital here that deals specifically with this subject matter. You know, natural remedies, chakra balancing, distant healing, crystal therapies, light therapy, homeopathic remedies, you know, scalar interferometry, curling photography.
Doing any Reiki?
You name it. Oh, of course. We got to have Reiki.
Okay.
And Qigong, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, so why don't you go ahead and give us your information online, just in case anyone else wanted to get some more information about the things that you're talking about and the fantastic work that you're doing.
Sure. You can go to one of the websites. It's called Hip Hop Therapeutics.
Okay.
You know, just Google Hip Hop Therapeutics, and it'll pull up the hospital's page. Hip Hop Therapeutics Holistic Hospital. Or just Google my name, Dr. Will Hawkins Jr. I'm easy to find on Facebook, and just get a hold of me. And I tell you what, there's some information. I mean, that we could show you. I could show you better than I can tell you, you know, because we document everything, we film everything, you know, and you know, we got specialized equipment that are listed as medical devices in other countries, but has been suppressed here in America, because they don't want people to know this esoteric information, I promise you. You know?
Okay. Thank you so much again for calling. And if anybody wants some more information from Dr. Hawkins, he just gave you his information. He's at Hip Hop Therapeutics and also on Facebook, Dr. Will Hawkins Jr. Thank you so much again for calling.
Hey, thank you, and I appreciate the love. Hey, you ladies, take care. Oh, by the way, I'll send you a message off here because I have a show, too, and I would love to have you ladies on my show.
Oh, we'd love to. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, ladies. Hey, peace.
Peace and light, Dr. Hawkins. Thank you again. Wow.
Well, that was just, yes, that was fantastic. And I never even included astral projection with tantric sex. And I'm literally scribbling down these nuggets that he gave us, because that's definitely another area to get into for full understanding. You know, it's like, you know, why bake the cake if you're not going to put the icing on it and get the icing? All of the different things are going to make it fantastic. And so I thank you very, very much for calling in, Dr. Hawkins. We're going to scoot over just a little bit because we don't want to miss all that Sage has prepared for us and her knowledge and her goodies and everything that she's here to share. And so we're going to go back just a little bit to meditation, and I'm going to share some more benefits of meditation with you. And one of the things, of course, we just discussed the physical benefits of meditation, and now the mental benefits of meditation brings the brainwave pattern into an alpha state that promotes healing. The mind becomes fresh, delicate, and beautiful with regular practice. You'll see a decrease in anxiety. Your emotional stability improves, creativity, happiness, intuition, clarity, peace of mind. Definitely your problems become smaller. Meditation sharpens the mind by gaining focus and expands through relaxation. A sharp mind without expansion causes tension, anger, and frustration. An expanded consciousness without sharpness can lead to lack of action or progress. And gosh, I can actually expound on that one a whole lot, but I won't. And the balance of a sharp mind and an expanded consciousness brings perfection. And so, Sage, we are ready. We are hungry. I have my fork out and my plate. And she's going to go from meditation, and then she's going to introduce these seven main chakras to us as well in this conversation. And please, again, guys, if you have any questions, call in. I know at least a few of my friends who are just about experts at all of this who are listening right now. I would love for you to call in and discuss some things and feed us, you know, and share with us. Faith?
Yes, absolutely. Please do call in and share. As much as I'm in the position of teacher today, I'm always a student and always willing to learn more. So I definitely appreciate anyone who's willing to offer any feedback and your experience of meditation or navigating your seven main energy centers of the body, your chakras. So if you're online, please feel free to chat. I'm there, and also feel free to call in. Again, as Dr. Hawkins did mention earlier, you know, it's so much information that is out there that is hidden from you for selfish reasons, egotistical reasons, people living in fear and feeling that they have to control everything. But we want you to get free. And the first step to being free is within yourself. So many people say that they want to be free, and they're being held down by all of these exterior forces, but it's really, really up to you. And as he did state, you are powerful. We are all powerful beyond measure, and it's a fine time for us to all know that. And so we were speaking on meditation, and I think meditation is definitely the way to go if you are looking to go deeper or maybe even go higher in life within yourself and to learn something. If you're feeling like there's something different or it has to be more, there probably is. And in my experience, I can definitely attest that there is a lot more than what's going on, than what meets your physical eyes, your two eyes that you open and close throughout the day. From meditation, we will get into the chakras, as I've stated, are the seven main energy centers of the body, and they are discussed most often when we discuss chakras. Now, there are more. There are said to be seven main ones and then 21 minor chakras, and then others are being discovered as well. So with what I've learned with chakras, I would say it's like building a house. And what does chakra stand for? What does it mean? It's a Sanskrit word meaning will. And everything is always in motion, and that does not dismiss you. You're constantly in motion as well. So the first chakra that we will discuss is considered the base chakra, the root chakra. That's where your foundation is. This is where your sense of survival, your sense of belonging and things like that are based. The root chakra is a wheel of light, and it's located, it spins to form a funnel of light pointing toward the earth. So when you hear people say they need to get grounded or you need to get back to nature, you're probably hearing a lot of that nowadays and things like that. Or if you've ever noticed that sometimes your body yearns to be outside, or you may prefer to be, like for me, if I'm ever emotional and things like that, going to the ocean and things like that, that always brings me back to being grounded. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the root chakra is. Based around earth, around the earth, and the actual chakra is located between the tissue between the anus and the vagina or the scrotum. With this chakra, it reminds you of who you really are, like where you come from. A lot of people say maybe you've forgotten where you've come from and things like that. That's kind of what the root chakra is. So if you are someone who never had a stable foundation, maybe you moved around as a child or you grew up in a very unstable environment, you may feel like you are not connected, may feel like you don't belong anywhere, things like that. The root chakra is somewhere where you may want to begin your work at. This is where, as creators, this is where we find our focus and our discipline to move forward with what it is that we're looking to create. When speaking on tantric sex, the root chakra, that's where the base is. That's where the ultimate orgasm, like, if you don't have a stable root chakra, you're not going to be able to experience the ultimate orgasm either. So this is kind of showing you how all of these things are interrelated today as well.
Mm-hmm. This is really interesting too. It's funny, well, not funny, haha, but because as Sage began to, you know, she was telling me, you know, what she's going to be talking about today, and I have a very base understanding of chakras, very base understanding of how it connects with us as beings. But as I'm going on, maybe for the last few years, I've been really, really getting more information about it just for understanding's sake. And just ironically enough, I went to the herb store yesterday, Sage, and I bought kava and I got ashwagandha root, which is wild because as I was looking and reading on the different chakras and the root chakra, one of the related herbs to maintaining the balance is ashwagandha root.
Mm-hmm.
Look how the universe works. That had nothing to do with
chakras. Absolutely.
It's one of those sidebars that I do all the time.
realize that we're always aligned and the universe is always working in our favor if we'll allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Isn't that something? Because it really was something. And then I bought, and another thing, I actually bought a new, some incense, and I bought cedar, and it was also a related incense to that first chakra, which is,
absolutely,
again, kind of mind-boggling. And so as I was reading specifically, and I know our time is winding down, but as I was reading about the chakras, and if you can, just sort of tell us how unblocking and balancing, like how can we do that? How can we unblock? And then how can we begin to help ourselves by learning to balance our chakras? Because one of the things I read, too, that when you said, you know, this is where we're creative, and but then I read that you find people who are not balanced in that area, the negative parts of it, and what that negative looks like, you know, in someone who isn't balanced in the root chakra. If there's too much energy flowing through it, like there could be selfishness, greed, aggression, sadism, that sort of thing. So how can we begin to balance and unblock?
The first step to healing, I think, is knowledge. Becoming aware of what the chakras are obviously would be a first step so you can understand why you're experiencing the things that you're experiencing. For the root chakra, since that's the one that we're on, it's usually for people who don't feel like they belong anywhere, people who usually have money issues, they don't really trust life. So you can't really let go unless you feel safe. So if someone's always afraid to move forward with their goals, or they may start something but they don't push forward, and it's probably because of underlying issues of self-esteem and not having the confidence to move forward. So there are a plethora of ways to heal the chakras. There's crystal therapy. There's meditation. You know, I'm definitely an advocate for that. There are different foods that you can eat based around the root chakra are proteins. It also includes meat, but I don't think that we have to eat meat. But if you do choose to, that is based around the types of food that we are eating. So if you, when I say color therapy, if you've seen a rainbow, then you, you've been, the universe has been showing you signs of the chakras because the rainbow has every color of the chakras, each chakra in it. So various colors, creating an altar, taking that time to write, learning what questions to ask yourself if you feel like one may be unbalanced and things like that. Crystals, said there are various herbs that you can drink because everything is what? Energy. So there are a wide variety of ways, probably way too many ways to go into it on the show today, but there are many, many ways to heal those chakras, and the first step is to understand what they are. So just an idea of, you know, to get an idea of your root chakra, and if you may have an imbalance, would be if you're low in energy and you always feel weak, or tired or sick, things like that. Do you feel like you really don't belong anywhere or that you're lonely wherever you are? Do you want to escape from life? So do you, like people who take drugs or people who commit suicide, those are people who are generally not connected. They don't feel like they belong anywhere and they just want to get away. Sex, if you're always disappointed in sex and you're not really fulfilled, which I know a lot of women aren't nowadays. A lot of women aren't fulfilled. Probably some men too. I just don't know as much. Haven't talked to as many men to know. But if you're always feeling insecure and if you're always needing to compensate for your feelings and things like that, those may be some signs that your root chakra is imbalanced. So taking the time to meditate, taking the time to eat the proper foods, buying crystals and meditating on various colors, meditating on the chakra because everything's energy. When you're meditating, you go deeper into meditation, you'll understand how to send energy to that particular chakra and visualizing and healing yourself. Moving forward to the sacral chakra, which is about movement, flexibility, and flow. So if you're always scared in life, this would be yoga could definitely be a way to help you be more flexible and help with the sacral chakra. This is where you're able to communicate your feelings. You're able to nurture and also be nurtured and be, I guess, a little more tender. So this is based around your sexuality, more or less for women than men. The female sexuality is based more in the sacral chakra than the root chakra simply because of the dynamics of our body. What else? This is a place where you allow yourself to have what you need and what you desire. I think based on the conversation that we just had today, a lot of times we don't feel that we deserve to be nurtured or we don't feel we deserve that time for ourselves, and so it becomes hard to communicate it when you suppress it for so long. Healing the sacral chakra will definitely help you to better communicate your needs and not only offer nurturing to others, but also be open to receiving it. As Marie, you did state earlier, for a long time, you were more concerned about pleasing your partner and not necessarily receiving that pleasure back or being able to maybe even communicate to your lover what you desired. So right. Here in the sacral chakra, you will build that self-esteem that you need and you deserve, and the color for this chakra is orange. So if you go along with the rainbow, you kind of get an idea of what each color is for. And you can go deeper into what colors mean. They use it in advertisement. This goes back to what Dr. Hawkins was saying. You know, a lot of information is being used, not against you in some ways and not always against you, but for the benefit of others. Like your lack of knowledge can be for the benefit of others. So if you know how to use colors in marketing, things like that, you'll kind of understand the dynamics of the chakras and how the various colors work with that.
That's
and
beautiful.
Moving on up is your solar plexus. I know you've heard of earth, wind, and fire. This is the chakra of fire. This is where your power and your will to do is. So if you have an idea that you want to go forward with and you just don't feel like you have the strength to do it, or you just can't find it within yourself to transcend your fear and your ego, this is definitely a chakra that you do want to dance with for a bit. It's our ability to make things happen because we will them to be so. So when you stand in your power, you know that you need this job and you're going to get it. You're going to get the best job. So no matter how many doors close, you are always confident that the perfect door is opening. That's why that particular door may have had to close. So any emotions that you haven't dealt with, where you repress emotions, you repress your thoughts and your feelings, that's where they're going to be housed, right there in your solar plexus. When you do start work at your solar plexus, you may be afraid of releasing your feelings because you probably feel either they'll make you experience various emotions that you've always run away from, or maybe they may offend someone that you may need to express them to. But when you have gut feelings, this is where your intuition is. So when you have a gut feeling, it's telling you something. Once you become more familiar with your your solar plexus, you'll be more familiar with your intuition and you'll start to trust it more. And the color for your solar plexus is kind of moving up from orange to like a yellow, fiery yellow color. And some emotional dysfunctions around your solar plexus. You may be oversensitive to criticism, need to be in control of everything, and your need to be in control is usually based off of you having low self-esteem. You don't really believe that things are really going to work out, so you want to plan everything down to a T, and you want to have control over everything because you feel that's the only way. Work here is going to help you be more trusting of life and understanding your power. And when you understand your power, you understand that you don't have to have power, meaning dominion over anything. It means that you have the power to let go, which is not what most people are used to. You believe that if you have power, it means you stand over something. When you have true power, it means you're able to let go and allow things that to happen, and you're confident. You have that self-esteem that you have the ability, and you just simply flow with life a little bit more.
That's good. That's good. And I think even with, because this is one of those things, really quick, this is one of those things that we can't see, that we can't touch, you know, that chakras are a part of the subtle body, you know, not physical body. And so, you know, a lot of times we have difficulty understanding that part of ourselves, the part that we cannot see. And so if I tell you that my hand is hurting because I smashed it in the door, and I can look at my hand and I can see that it's swollen and that it's a little bent, and then my mind says I need to probably go to the doctor and get this fixed. But saying, you know, you may be off balance, there may be some blockage, you may want to look at the colors, crystals, and whatever you need to do to facilitate healing in your life, let's look at your chakra first. People have the hardest time often to see the unseen, or to even accept the unseen. And so I would encourage everyone, and just as you're going through the different chakras, to look into it. You know, again, this is about knowledge. This is about understanding, and you can never go wrong with either of those two. So now we're moving to which one? Are we on number four?
We are moving on up to number four, the heart chakra. And I just kind of want to reiterate, as Marie has said, it definitely is important because it's lending you knowledge of yourself, and it can be scary to navigate your chakras and open up these doors that have been closed off for so long because we aren't taught to look within ourselves. We aren't taught. We're taught to go to the doctor. We're taught to find the fault in someone else. It has to be someone else's issue. Someone else is doing this to us, but we're creating our lives. We are co-creators. So once we can heal ourselves, new worlds begin to open up. And moving to the heart chakra, I think many of us have challenges here because we're taught to live and walk in fear more than anything. And the heart chakra is based around love. The color here is definitely green. Usually a clear indication of a blocked or out of balance heart chakra, maybe even overactive heart chakra, it's told to us in our relationship. Like, are you living in fear? What are your relationships like? Is it people who, do you generally attract people who take more than they give? Are you attracting people who you have dominion over or you can control? How are your romantic relationships? What is the common denominator in how the prior ones have ended? What type of lovers are you attracting? What is your dominant issue in all of your relationships? This is a way to kind of see what you need to do as far as your heart chakra is concerned as well. So if you're always fearing that you're going to be betrayed, or I have so many people nowadays who are saying they don't care, no F's giving, that's a popular saying nowadays, and it seems to be a popular thing to have dysfunctional relationships, if that makes sense. Because that's all a lot of the music talks about. It talks about hurt and pain. It talks about you did this to me and I did this to you and things like that. Work at the heart chakra helps you understand why you're attracting these things and helps you realize that nobody's doing anything to you. You're doing it to yourself. With the heart chakra, we learn about unconditional love and we can maximize on offering that and also being able to receive it. Here, are you codependent on your lover? Are you always looking for someone to depend on? Or are you able to express your needs, your thoughts, your emotions, and allow your lover to do the same? Or do you always take your experiences with your lover personal? So if they're having a bad day, are you one to say, oh, what did I do? Or are you able to just allow them to have that moment and that be theirs and not have anything to do with you? Can you love your lover in a way where they feel like they can come to you and express anything? This is what we would navigate at the heart chakra. And I think we're very, very imbalanced as a people here because we have the tendency to control, and that's ego-based. So when we operate out of ego, we tend to want to control our lovers. We tend to have a dynamic of how our relationships will be, and we lose our fluidity, and we miss out on a lot of greatness. And I don't want to go too deep into it, but with the heart chakra, you want to heal it in a way that your love enhances the lives of others. It enriches the lives of others. It makes things more beautiful. It allows you to forgive. So many people carry from relationship to relationship the issue that they had before. Like if you had a lover who may have lied to you, you're going to go into the next relationship thinking, man, you know, I cannot stand a liar. And guess what you're doing? You're bringing a liar to you. Your current lover may not even intend to lie, but you're creating that experience for yourself. And so since that's the lover that you align with, they have no they have no choice but to give to that in some way. So they may not even be lying to you or meaning to lie to you, but because that's what you're expecting, that experience is going to be created. So when we learn to forgive, we don't cause our lovers to pay for the same mistake twice. We don't carry on what went on in our last relationship and our new relationship. And the same thing goes for us at our individual selves. So often we beat ourselves up for a mistake that we may have made, or we create these experiences in our mind before the day even comes. And work at the heart chakra helps you to forgive others but also forgive yourself. you don't always expect yourself to make that same mistake that you made in that your very first speech. You flow, you know, you flow to your next engagement where it's time to speak, and you open yourself up to that experience. And that's where the heart chakra is. And I think you hear people say God is love, everything is love, but love is truly the ultimate. So work at the heart chakra will definitely, it bridges the gap between your lower and your higher chakra. So when you work there, you can't skip over a chakra and skip to the next one because they all work together. So work here at the heart chakra moves us up to the next chakra, which is our throat chakra. And our throat chakra is about our voice. So someone who just constantly rambles can maybe have an overreactive throat chakra, or someone who often sits in the corner and doesn't say a whole lot or never speaks their truth would have an underactive throat chakra. Both deserve some attention. So with this one, the throat chakra can be based around perfectionism, or you having an inability to express your emotions, or maybe your creativity is blocked, and the chakra here is blue, and which I think may have something to do with what Beyonce and Jay-Z actually named their child, but that's my philosophy. that's my theory. That's not my philosophy. But some things that are based around the throat chakra are sore throats, people who have issues with thyroids and things like that. So a lot of us are taught as children that we should be seen and not heard, and I think that that cripples us in the beginning. That's our first sign of crippling, where someone tells you to be quiet when you're expressing something that you really need to get out. I think we all deserve to be heard, but a lot of times we're told that we don't deserve to be heard. You may be in a job where you want to have input, but you don't feel like anyone cares and things like that. But work at the throat chakra helps you realize your voice. And once you learn to appreciate your voice, you'll start to use it to speak your truth. This chakra color is blue. And, of course, it is the fifth chakra and right at your throat, if the name of the chakra was not a giveaway in itself. So this helps you to communicate in speech. And because, you know, in the Bible it says in the beginning was the word. That's because with our words, we are creating. Without communication, thoughts and ideas remain solitary, unexpressed, intangible. So if your voice is always repressed, you may hold the key to a door that we've been trying to unlock as a society forever. But if your throat chakra or if your voice is repressed, we may never get that. So our work here is definitely vital. For you to communicate your truth, your passion, to open up new possibilities for everyone, and starting with yourself. Most relationships usually struggle because of poor communication. It could be you can't communicate what you need sexually, or you are afraid to communicate something that you've done financially, or maybe you feel like you don't know enough. And you don't communicate because you're shy and you don't feel like you have anything to offer. So work here is definitely vital for us as well. So, Marie, do you have any questions, concerns, input?
No, you are doing fantastically beautiful, of course, as always. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. And we are going to bring Ms. Chaka Khan in. No, she's not on the show. But we're going to play her song, My Funny Valentine. Now, the reason I picked this song is because we're definitely talking about connecting and being connected and understanding our place with ourselves and with others. And her song, Funny Valentine, to me, definitely speaks about that, and whether it be with a lover or self. So sit back, listen to Chaka with us, and we will be right back with you. Remember, you can press that number one or also communicate with us via chat. I will be talking with you soon. Welcome back, everyone, to the Conscious Creative. This is Marie Borrojo, and we are on today with Faith Mayotte. Today's discussion is all about our spiritual selves, and that is definitely a part of us that we cannot forget when we are just kind of walking this life, man, just really trying to be and do all of the things that we were purposed to be and do. And so we're discussing meditation. We've been discussing tantric sex. We discussed some really deep things with one of our callers earlier. Dr. Will Hawkins called in and he gave us some information about astral projection, and he broke down emotions for us being the energy in motion, which was fantastic. And so we're just going to continue this conversation concerning consciousness, really, and how cosmic consciousness dawns in all of us. And I'm going to turn it back over to Sage, and she is going to continue to introduce the chakras for us. Sage?
Absolutely. Going to try to be as brief as possible. I've been trying to keep it as simple as possible. Definitely we don't have a lot of time left, so we're going to move right into our brow chakra, which you probably hear a lot of people refer to it as their third eye. The color of this one is kind of similar to the throat chakra, which is a blue color. Moving on up to the third eye, it's more of an indigo. And this one is based around intuition. So basically today we started down with survival at our base chakra, your emotional balance and sexuality with your sacral, your personal power and self-will at your solar plexus, and then your heart chakra for love and relationships, and then communication and self-expression. Now moving up to your third eye, your brow chakra, we talk about intuition and wisdom. These are generally the places that society kind of places us at, which I think kind of brings us out of balance. We have this religion forced on us as at an early age, and so we never really learn about our quote-unquote lower selves, which are definitely the ways we get rooted, if you will. And so this chakra is based around, as I said, intuition. So here, like if you have nightmares, learning difficulties, hallucinations, headaches, poor vision, even glaucoma, issues with your eyes and things like that, this is your vision. What do you see self? We have two eyes that we see the world with, but when we close our eyes, what do we see with our inner eye? We speak of our inner ear. We speak of our inner voice. What about our inner vision? And that's what this brow chakra is based around. So trying to cram it all in, so we'll move up to the crown chakra. And I do apologize that I'm not able to go into much more detail, but I'm going to give you information so you can contact me if you'd like to go a little bit deeper. Moving on up to the crown chakra, this particular chakra, the color for it is a violet, and this is based around your spirituality. So this is what you believe. This is what you bring. This is not necessarily identification with a particular religion. You hear some people say love is their religion. This is where you begin to manifest your purpose. You begin to manifest what you are here for and what is important to you. You rededicate. A lot of people say in, like, Christianity, you rededicate your life to Christ. At this chakra, you simply rededicate your life to what you feel to be most important, not what someone else has told you is most important. This is where you explore universal truths and knowledge, and you transcend all that you've known, all that everyone else has always told you. And with this chakra, you discover your truth, and you learn to accept and also express your truth. This is also where you hear many speak of the pineal gland and things like that. And this particular chakra, again, is more of a violet. Sometimes it's considered to be a white light. You see a lot of people who were considered kings and queens. They were also looked at as being gods. That's why they had crowns on their head. That's why a lot of angels have the light around their heads and things like that. And that's generally what this chakra is based around. This takes you beyond yourself, your physical self, and it gets you to the more spiritual realm of things. And that is where I'm going to leave it today as far as the chakras. And we can definitely expound on this if you're looking to get more information on meditation, or if you want to go a little bit deeper on healing your chakras, learning what they are. Feel free to email me. It's asksagemayat@gmail.com. That's asksagemayat@gmail.com. On any social media, you can also find me at Sage Mayat. Of course, on Facebook, it would just be Sage Mayat. But I am there, and I would love to connect with you. If you have any further knowledge that you'd like to offer me, I'm open to that as well. As I said, I am a forever student of life. I do appreciate everyone who has tuned in today and given me the opportunity to offer the information that I've learned to you. Anything else, Marie, before we close out?
No, I just want to thank everybody for joining the show. As always, this is Conscious Creative. We are on Sundays, every Sunday, at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember to just stay connected to self, stay connected to others and your spiritual source. And remember, as always, to do love well. You guys enjoy your Sunday.
Peace.